Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we meditate on our Gospel reading from Luke chapter 13 under the theme, Longing to Gather Us. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us today with your presence, for drawing us to yourself, for bringing us to your house. We pray now that you bless us as we meditate on your word, that you would speak it to us clearly into our hearts, into our minds and into our lives, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I think it's fair to say that foxes and chickens don't mix. We learnt that lesson the hard way in my house a few years ago in Coromandel Valley when a fox found its way into our chicken enclosure, made fairly quick work of our four little feathery friends. It was a sad day in the Pfeiffer house. It was an even sadder day in the chicken house, and needless to say, we didn't have need of the chicken enclosure after that point. As many of you would know, perhaps from experience as well, foxes and chickens do not mix. It's interesting then that these are the two animals that stand side by side in the words of Jesus today. The first is an analogy of King Herod, the second is an analogy of himself, and by extension, the children of Jerusalem, and by extension, us as well. So I just want to look at the three little analogies in our text today and work through it in that way. And, sorry, not there yet. The fox, the hen, and the chicks. Three analogies about Herod, Christ, and the people of God. This is how the text begins. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." Since when, we might wonder, do the Pharisees care about Jesus' well-being? Since when are they watching his back and trying to look after him? It's very difficult to know from the text what their motivation might be. Whether some of the Pharisees did genuinely care about Jesus and are genuinely watching out for him, or whether this is kind of a setup, a way to drive him away from Jerusalem, perhaps even a plot that Herod himself has orchestrated. That's, of course, possible too. What we know for sure is how Jesus responds to their little warning. He responds in no uncertain terms. "Go tell that fox, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I will reach my goal." It's interesting that Jesus, at other times, can be very supportive of the governing authorities, like when he says, "Give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." But it seems like the minute they overstep their mark, the minute their planning conflicts with his planning, he snaps back very quickly. "You tell that fox, Herod. You tell him to mind his business. You tell him to stick to politics. You tell him to keep to what he knows." Jesus is very direct and he's very determined and he's very resolute as he turns his attention to Jerusalem. This city for him is a place of great meaning, a place he's returned to throughout his life, and a place that will see the final fulfillment of his mission on earth. Notice, not the first day, not the second day, but the third day. He's already looking forward to that time of fulfillment, that resurrection day, what we call Easter Sunday, when his work will be complete. And not Herod, and not the Pharisees, and not anyone is going to get in the way of him doing what his Father has sent him to do. So why the fox analogy at this point? Foxes tend to be characterized in most kinds of literature as being very sly and devious and very cunning and very crafty and even very cruel, as we found out from experience. And what Jesus is saying about Herod at this point is that he's similar as he tactfully plots and plans Jesus' downfall. And as it seems that he'll go to any lengths to make that downfall happen. We see similar attitudes in ourselves. We may not like to compare ourselves to Herod, but if you think of any attitude or any action which is aimed at pulling someone else down so that we might lift ourselves up, or any attitude or action which is kind of manipulating people or situations to further our own ends, or any attitude or action that leads to violence, to cruelty. This is Herod-like. This is fox-like attitude and activity. And so we too at times need to hear Jesus' very strong response and stern rebuke in this text too. We don't have to be tyrants to be tyrants, if you know what I mean. Thankfully, we're not left with that analogy in our text, but Jesus goes on to give us two more, especially in what we usually call Jesus' lament over Jerusalem. And this is how it goes. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those that are sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. The text moves from this image of cunning, crafty, cruel behavior towards what is probably one of the most gentle and caring and compassionate images of Christ in the whole Bible. It's an interesting contrast that you get in the text, moving from one to the other, from the fox to the picture of this mother hen. From the Psalms, we know this imagery. It's right through the Psalms, this imagery of God, wings outstretched, wanting to gather and nurture his people. Jesus here firstly expresses this great love and this great sadness over the city of Jerusalem. This is a city he knows. This is a city he's returned to time and time again. This is a city he will return to yet again for the final stages of his life. This is a city that's so central in God's plan of salvation. And yet this is a city that we all know has been plagued by problems and conflict down through the ages. Before Jesus, in the time of Jesus, and ever since the time of Jesus, Jerusalem has been a place of conflict and tension. Now, I want you to hear how Jesus repeats the name of the city. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. It's a way of expressing a real heartfelt love on one hand, but also a heartfelt sadness on the other hand. We've actually heard it before in the Gospel of Luke, if you remember the story of Mary and Martha. Martha, Martha. You are anxious about many things, but only one thing is needed. And again today, we get the same thing. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. It shows love, it shows affection, it shows sadness, it shows pity. It's all wrapped up there in this phrasing of Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Now, a couple slides. Overlooking the city of Jerusalem, to this day there stands this church. It's on the Mount of Olives, and from the church you can see the city. And this is called the church or the chapel of Dominus Flevit, something like that, which means the Lord wept. So it's said to stand on the spot or near the spot where Jesus uttered these words over Jerusalem. And it's meant to actually be shaped like a teardrop. That's what it looks like from the front. And if you go inside, when you sit there in that church and worship, you can see through the back windows the city of Jerusalem. Obviously not looking quite like it did in Jesus' day, but the city is there as you face the altar. Now, as you sort of zero in on the altar itself, you see this beautiful mosaic. The mother hen, wings outstretched to encompass her young. It's an image that Jesus tries to call to our minds today, an image of protection and dedication and commitment to those little ones in his care. The mother hen keeps them from harm's way, keeps them from danger, putting herself in the firing line, so to speak. Now, she is relatively defenseless, while her instinct is to protect her young. She actually has very little to protect herself. And so when she's encountered by something like a fox or some other animal like that, she inevitably dies trying to defend her young. That's the image that Jesus calls to mind. Now, as I read about that and thought about that this week, I was not able to not link it to the events in Christchurch in the last few days. And many of you, well, I'm sure all of you are familiar with what's gone on there, the violence and the murder at two mosques. 49 people I heard, but someone mentioned to me it's at least 50 now, confirmed dead in this just unimaginable cruelty and chaos and harm that people inflict on one another. Now, often when these stories come to light and people start talking about them in the subsequent days, there are these other little stories that are reported, not as much, but these little stories that also come to light of people's courage and bravery in the midst of these events. And I was reading one yesterday about a man who shielded some other people from the gunfire, and another about a man who tried to distract and even wrestle down the shooter. And stories like this. And they often come in the wake of such tragedy. Now, when I think of people like that, and I think of actions like that, I can't help but think of this image of this mother hen putting herself between danger and her little chicks. Why? Because it leads almost inevitably to her death, as it did for the people in those stories that I read about. Most of those people died trying to defend the lives of others. I think the reason we need to hear those little stories as well as the big story is because we very quickly realize and are reminded that human beings are capable of great evil. And we shouldn't be surprised by that as Christians, because we know that. But we also need to be reminded in the midst of these times that human beings are also capable of great good and great acts of courage and great acts of bravery in the midst of these times. The image Jesus wants us to have in our heads is the mother hen defending her chicks. Why? Think of what Jesus is about to do. He's heading into Jerusalem. He's heading into the fox's den, right? He's going to where Herod is, to where all these people are who are calling for his blood. He's heading in their direction. The chief priests, all of them, conspiring against him. That's where he's going. You don't think he knows what's going to happen to him when he gets there? This is how defenseless he is, right? He knows that. And yet he's heading there anyway. Not day one, not day two, but day three, Jesus already has in mind as he journeys to Jerusalem. Jesus laments over Jerusalem, over these little chicks who he wants to gather to himself, is that they were not willing. They were not willing. And so we also need to look at ourselves and ask, are we sometimes not willing to come under the protective presence of God? Is it that we want to live our own way, do our own thing, make our own choices, and so even though we have a God who promises to draw us to himself, we say no thanks, we'd rather go off in this other direction. How often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings? How often have I longed to gather you together? I think it's really difficult in times like we live in, and especially like we've seen this last week, to comprehend what God's protective presence actually means to our lives. Because the world is cruel, and people are cruel, and we're not exempt from that cruelty. And so what does it mean that he protects us? What does it mean that he calls us together underneath his wings? Jesus assures us today that it means a great deal, and that if we are willing, he will show us what it means. He will gather us to himself, and he will defend us in life and in death with every fiber of his being, with every breath he has left in his body. Now, this doesn't mean that we become invincible and impenetrable to any harm this side of eternity. You know that. The people of Christ Church know that. It doesn't make us invincible against things, but what it does is it means in every situation that people like those brave souls who put themselves between the shooter and the victims, in every situation we have someone like that who stands there for us, who says, in the midst of your trial, I am always there. In the midst of your persecution, I am never far away. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. This is the one who longs to gather us to himself. And he says, so often you don't even want it and you're not even willing to receive it. But like a mother hen and her chicks, that doesn't deter him. He doesn't just give up on us at that point. He keeps longing. He keeps calling. He keeps gathering. He keeps wanting us to be close to him. And he does that all the way to the cross. Even when it costs him his life, he does it. He stands between us and the evils of this world, and he says, if you want to get to them, you're going to have to come through me. That's what's happening on the cross, right? When we look to the cross of Christ, what we see is a person who stands there between us and the worst things we could ever know and experience, sin, death, and the devil. And he says, if you want to get to them, you're going to have to go through me. So he dies for us. Inevitably, he dies for us because he is as innocent and as defenseless as a mother hen. So what are we left with? We're left with his call, his longing to gather us to himself. Let him gather you. Let him draw you in. What do you have to lose? Let him draw you to himself. Let him shelter you under his wings. Even if you don't fully comprehend what that means or how he does it, let him invite you in. Let him draw you to himself. Let him feed you with his word. Let him encourage you through it. Let him offer you his body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. Let him do that for you. Let him draw you to himself. Let him weep over you. Tears of joy. Because you're one of those ones who was lost but have been found. One of those ones who were dead but are now alive. Let him cry over you. Tears of joy. Let him give himself for you. Let him stand between you and everything that threatens you. That is who he is, and that is who he wants to be for you. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're often confronted by the cruelty of this world. It didn't end with Herod. It goes on. And we see it every day, and we see it every week in the news, and perhaps we also see it in ourselves, in our own attitudes and actions, which are not what you would have them be. Father, help us to answer your call to be gathered to you, protected and defended by you, and also to live lives of bravery and courage, protecting and defending those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.